Welcome to Atomic Moms, a modern parenting podcast about the joys and complexities of caring for our children and ourselves. I'm Ellie Noss, and since 2014, we've been celebrating and commiserating with world-class experts, best-selling authors, and moms around the world. Hi, everybody. Ellie here. We are calling Idaho. I have Jessica Rolfe on the line. Jessica, thank you for coming on Atomic Moms.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
Okay, so we're going to be talking about early childhood development. We are going to be talking about startups. And I also kind of want to know how she runs her family, because she's got three adorable children that she is juggling alongside her businesses. She recently co-founded Love Every, play products designed by child development experts whose mission is to help every parent feel confident that they are giving their baby the best learning experience through play. That sounds really quaint, doesn't it? You know, just imagine Jessica with her three adorable children in Idaho. She's got this really sweet business she's launching. But, you know, at the same time, she is an entrepreneurial mogul. If you Google her name, Forbes comes up. I'm sure Jessica's going to kill me now. But she previously co-founded the number one organic baby food company, Happy Family. This is not a part of Jessica's bio, but it was acquired for, maybe I won't say it because now I feel awkward, hundreds of millions of dollars. Is that fair to say?
It's so awkward.
But I, you know, we shouldn't be so awkward about money, right? Let's just share it. This is a tacky podcast, so I'm just going to say it. Her company that she co-founded was acquired for hundreds of millions of dollars. I did a little digging and I also found this. Jessica was awarded the Park Leadership Fellowship, a full tuition merit scholarship to Cornell's MBA program, graduating in 2004. She's a 2013 Henry Crown Fellow of the Aspen Institute and a member of the Aspen Global Leadership Network. So, Jessica, thank you so much again for coming on the show. Thank you for letting me share a little bit about you that wasn't in your sweet bio. Because you're basically like a crazy mom boss, like you're a beast. How did you get to be this way?
I'm blushing and I'm so embarrassed. You've completely embarrassed me. But, you know, the whole thing of the juggle. I mean, I think that I'm driven by this really deep passion. I just love my babies. And I think the first experience with Happy Family was so meaningful for me to translate my passion around nutrition and the importance of nutrition early in life to create a product and a brand that really resonated with parents everywhere. You know, we in the beginning, organic baby food was a real niche. It was only 3% of all baby food consumed was organic a little over 10 years ago. And now over 30% of all baby food consumed is organic. So we really feel like we've tapped into a kind of core desire. And I think that that's what I love so much is kind of translating the science and the aspirations with the realities of parenting and the hard stuff and making products and information and experience that feels like meaningful and helps us, you know, all feel a little elevated because there's so much about parenting that's so hard and so humbling. It's nice to have some aspirational pieces of it too. That's what drives me.
Aspirational and hard. Like these are all words that also go with being an entrepreneur. And I was reading about the pivot you guys had to make with the baby food pouches that originally you were in the frozen food area. How did you end up deciding to do the pouch? Because now, I mean, this is so ubiquitous. Like you don't see a mom on the playground without one.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that the most perfect food is obviously something you would, you know, grow in your own backyard, organic seeds, nurture yourself, you know, puree this fresh food for your baby and feed it to them right in that moment. But it's, you know, it's so hard to get there for so many parents. And so our frozen food was so beautiful, but it was in the freezer. Nobody knew it was there. And so we found that, you know, kind of changing that behavior was so hard for getting parents to look somewhere else besides the baby aisle for baby food, that the pouch ended up being the perfect packaging for our kind of more pure, wholesome blends of fruits and vegetables and whole grains. So the pouch really kind of made organic mainstream I think some parents were just really liking to buy the convenience of the pouch. Children love to feed themselves. It's so easy, as a great snack. And then it also just happened to be organic and, you know, and super nutritious. But I think we really credit the pouch for kind of bringing us to the mainstream market.
With your latest project, you write that you had read a dissertation on baby neuroscience and you kind of geeked out on that. And that's what led you to developing Love Every. I want to geek out with you. What are some fun facts that you learned in your research and development of your new company?
Yeah, thank you. I love to nerd out. It's one of my favorite things to do. It sounds nuts that I discovered this doctoral thesis and that I would actually read it, but it was very practical. So a lot of the information that we get as parents is really kind of like general or watered down. I found this doctoral thesis to be so specific. It talks about all the different stages that a baby goes through from zero to this particular book went up to 18 months. And one of the biggest things that I learned is that 80% of the brain mass is developed by age 3. And there's just this huge opportunity for us to make a difference in our child's learning. Yet, on the other hand, you know, you just see this little lump, right? When they're newborns or when they're, you know, these 2-month-olds or these 3-month-olds, it's so hard for us as parents to imagine all of the things that are going on in their little minds and what they're learning and what they need to learn. So what I loved about this thesis is it talks about each stage and what's going on specifically for the child's development in that stage, and then how a parent could help. One of the things I love to do is take my babies on house tours. And so we would sort of go in and kind of discover all the places where there's water, or turn on and off all the lights in the house, or, you know, deconstruct a Q-tips, you know, box of Q-tips, or there's so many things that you can do with just their natural environment that, once you kind of tune into them and feel them, that the tap into their hunger for learning, and you give them what they're looking for, it is so satisfying.
I've been so annoyed with my husband lately because he does the light switching game with our daughter, who's 14 months. And now she always, like, we can't go down the hallway without her having flipping out if she doesn't get to turn the lights on and off 12 times. I feel like she needs to do a house tour with you, Jessica.
I would love to take her. Let me have her. I would love to do it.
So we recently had a wonderful occupational therapist on, Jessica Beal, and we were talking about sensory processing. And I'm curious, like, what did you learn in the OT department?
Yeah, so interesting. So I learned a lot about how the kind of the connection between the mind and then the physical body and language, it's all interconnected. So when a baby is learning to roll over, doing tummy time, or figuring out something that we think of more as a gross motor milestone, they're actually triggering and lighting up parts of their brain that promote language and that promote this kind of integration of the whole development. So I found that to be fascinating. There's also a ton of tips that I've learned and have kind of, we think about at Love Every around head turning for newborns, or how to kind of think about the kind of the physical body and how do you promote movement in different ways through the kind of like mama OT, from a mama OT perspective.
And for our listeners who haven't, they're probably like Googling your website right now, but what do you currently offer? And moms, I'm trying not to make this sound like an infomercial, but I am very excited about this and we can't not talk about the actual products. So what do you have right now for mothers, Jessica?
Yeah. So I guess from my perspective, you know, so I've kind of gone so deep on the science around early child development and I just got really obsessed. And so started reading all of the different books and reading publications from child development experts, in addition to this research, this doctoral thesis. And there's so many different, there's the Rye method, there's the Forest School, there's the Waldorf method, there's the Montessori, there's all these kind of different aspects of and authorities around child development. And so what I wanted as a parent is I wanted to kind of the best of, right? I wanted to kind of pull all the resources together and think about how could I create an experience that was meaningful for my baby right at the stage that they are in right now. And so at Love Every, we've created the stage-based learning program that's every other month information and what we call play kit comes in the mail and products. And then really kind of like, what do you need to know about your baby right at this moment in development, in their development, and what are they hungry to learn? And then how can you use these play things that we include or these toys with different activities to make that learning meaningful and kind of cover all the bases of their development. I think, you know, because I think we spend so much time thinking about feeding, we spend so much time thinking about their sleep, but really there's so much that's actually needs to happen in learning that there's such an opportunity to create like kind of meaningful moments. And I think for me, you know, the bells and whistles toys. So I remember with my first watching him pull up to one of those plastic like tabletop, you probably have had one, or you know, where you push one button, all of a sudden 15 things happen and bells are going off and a purple cow is popping out of somewhere and music is playing. And it almost seems like it was like my baby was just so absorbed in this toy. But I also found myself wondering like, what is this actually doing for him from a cognitive perspective? And also what is it doing for us from a kind of moment of connection? Like I felt really disconnected from my little guy in that moment. You know, I felt like it was like this toy was the thing and that was almost between us if you wanted to have a moment of connection. And, you know, there's plenty of time for distraction toys, but, you know, sometimes you really want to connect.
Right. Sometimes it feels like with Eliza, with those types of toys that she, it's almost like she's like in her own little rave, which, yeah, it feels very disconnecting because you're like, she's on her own planet with this like very stimulating, totally weird thing. And I'm not a part of this.
I love the rave context. I love that. I can totally see her at her own little rave. But I think if you look at it from a child development perspective, so where the toy is meeting the child is in their desire. They're so hungry to learn about their real world and they really want to learn about cause and effect. But what happens is it's almost like empty calories in food, right? You like sugar and it's a calorie and it's energy, but it's not really nutritious food. It's the same thing with some of these toys. If they are doing all the work for the child and they're pushing one button, they're actually memorizing the sequence of events. So they're like, okay, if I push that like note on the piano, that red note on the piano, and that purple cow pops out and this song plays, I mean, they go super deep in building this whole neural network of associations around, you know, if I do this, then these things happen. And what happens is in our brain structure, what we want to give babies is actually the most we can is just really meaningful, real world brain connections. And we want to build that network of associations around things that they are going to be useful later in life. So useful as a 3-year-old, as a 5-year-old, as an adult. So you know, Eliza's obsession with you're turning on and off all the lights, like that's actually really useful because she's going to turn on and off lights all of her life. And she's starting to understand, you know, the real kind of life cause and effect. And there's so much that their little brains need to build over time that what my hope was is that I could give my children, and we really want to do it Love Every, is give these children like meaningful experiences that aren't kind of this like rave, like addictive, weird, you know, sort of not related to real life, you know, kind of experience with some of the stuff. And there's always a time for distraction toys, right?
Yes.
I mean, I had quote unquote the office, and it's that thing, that circle thing that you like put the baby in and they go nuts with all the stuff.
But Sabrina had she loved it. Kind of,
yeah. And it's kind of nice. Like I'd be at my office, my baby would be at their office, but it's a little bit, there's just a time and a place. And so I think that it's also just, there's a time for healthy food. There's a time for, you know, treats. There's a time for, you know, kind of like healthy learning opportunities and really being purposeful about it. And that's what we want to be in that space for a parent and give them the peace of mind that they're getting what they need from a development perspective.
So. You know, speaking of the baby in her office and you in your office, or at the, do you have any tips from business school that would apply to, you know, running your household of 3 children while doing these startups? Like, was there anything from business school that you've applied to home life?
Oh, goodness. I've actually never thought of it like that. But now that you brought it up, I think, one of the things in business is to really kind of win and focus and know what you're going after and not try and be everything and do everything all at once. And I think one of the hardest parts as parents is that there's so many expectations, and there's also so much stuff we put on ourselves. And so much of parenting is the opposite of business. It's being. It's like being with the child. Like, you're not doing, you're not achieving, but you're being present. You're being there with them. And this is one of the hardest things that I have absolutely not mastered. But what I try and do is, if you walked into my house right now, you would see it is not a very organized place. I wish it was more. I wish that we could have. I wish it was cleaner. I wish there wasn't as much clutter as we have. But I think that if I can try and let go of the things where I'm not going to win, I'm not going to have a beautiful home right now. It's just not what I can't do, scale a business and be a present mom and do anything else in life and, you know, any kind of self-care or anything else, and also have this, like, you know, beautiful, clean, everything in its place house. So I just have kind of let go of some things, you know, I think it's so hard. It's like everybody says that, but the practice of it is so hard to just kind of say, okay, what am I actually letting go of, or where can I get help? Because I think if we're working, you know, the hope is that there's some, you know, there can be some extra funds to try and support, you know, like getting help in certain areas, maybe getting, you know, healthy takeout or figuring out other ways to deal with the responsibilities at home. So it's not a great picture in my house, but it's a really meaningful picture. And there's a lot of just, like, you know, when I'm not working, I'm trying to spend special time. And my husband and I, you know, kind of both have that principle where we let a lot go.
How do you and your husband get time to be together? Because I'm assuming you work after the kids go to bed again. This is something I'm trying to hack for myself.
How did you know this? How did you know this?
I know everything, exactly, Jessica. This is what I do. I'm the Atomic Moms podcast host.
You know exactly. You know, we don't get enough time. I wish we had more. It's really hard because when I want to, you know, it's oftentimes like, this weekend, I'm really excited because we just have like all of Saturday with no plans with any friends. There's just like kid time and husband time. But, you know, I love being with the kids all day. I will deal with their chaos. I will deal with them all, you know, hanging over me or vying for attention. It's kind of exhausting for my husband sometimes. And I think he wishes that he could have more us time. And so we're working on it. I think it's also just recognizing that this is a stage. And I think we're climbing out of it in our relationship. I think that, you know, it's hard to be in the early with three kids and young kids. I think we're starting to kind of see the light of, okay, they're becoming a little bit more independent and we have a little bit more space. But what do you do? Give me your tips.
I don't have any tips for this because, well, okay, so I had a girlfriend on the podcast recently, Carissa, and I mentioned to her that my husband's been getting really annoyed at night. Even if I'm just trying to respond to my mom friend, like, text chain, like, because he'll feel left out. And she was like, oh, yeah, well, that's your honey time. And I'm like, but then when do I do the work? Like, when do I catch up on everything? Like, when do I catch up on the emails? And so she was like, she's done a lot of couples therapy. And she was like, that's important time. And I was like, okay. So I still don't know. I think I just go to the bathroom extra long and, like, just respond to emails then. Like, my daughter thinks that I have, like, serious IBS, but really I'm just hiding in the bathroom trying to get work done. but too much information. Let's get back to you, Jessica. So speaking of husbands, you co-founded this one with your best friend's husband. So what's that like? Talk to us about boundaries.
Oh, wow. That's a good question. I think, you know, Rod and I have known each other for over 20 years. He's an incredibly accomplished person who's really creative and also, like, really, really smart. And we were so excited to, you know, to kind of figure out a way for our families to be together. So the whole conversation started. I was assigned to find a way to have our family and my best friend's family live in the same place. So my husband and my best friend were like, okay, we're going to leave it up to you and Rod to talk about kind of what our process is for finding the best place to live. And because I grew up with Andrea, and And then, you know, then it just kind of evolved to, I was telling my business idea and he was saying, wow, that sounds, you know, that sounds really interesting. I'd love to be involved. And it all sort of became real with Love Every at that point. And he's the most phenomenal partner. You know, she and I have a really special relationship, and, you know, I've been really intentional. Rod has been really intentional. We've talked about it a lot, you know, and she just moved here to Boise. And so it's, you know, sort of, she's having like an building out her new life, but it's, it hasn't always been easy, but I think it's also giving us the chance to be in the same place and giving us a chance to, like, I get to now have my friend and we're, you know, in town where we've been long distance for so long. So it's, in that sense, it's super special. And I think she's been really generous and really patient with, you know, the process of getting this business off the ground. And we're all going to Yellowstone together next week, and kind of a ecosystem that we're putting together.
Where was Andrea living? Because I know a lot of listeners just backtracked like I did for a moment when you were like, find a place to live. Like, you know, one might assume you meant like then what neighborhood, not what town or state to live in. Where was Andrea? Where did Andrea move from to be with you guys?
Yeah, Andrea and Rod moved from DC. So
amazing.
I grew up in Minnesota. Yeah, Andrea and I were best friends from growing up in Minnesota. We were on the basketball team together. And then we kind of were in different places, you know, after college. And then Andrea and Rob were in DC, and then they moved to Idaho, which has been so, so fun to have them here.
And why did you move to Idaho?
I moved to Idaho because my husband Decker got a job here working for a small venture capital fund. So he had kind of found his dream job, but really we were living in Manhattan right before this, and it was a huge change. And I think he's always loved the outdoors. And so, so that's why we ended up in Boise over a decade ago. And then we were wondering if we should leave and if we should all, you know, if Andrea and Rod and Decker and I should live in Colorado or California or Minnesota or Texas, you know, we're looking at all these different places. And then we all kind of decided that Idaho would be a great place for the next chapter.
That you just, my husband can't listen to this now. He's always, you know, every night when he's mad at me about not, I guess, I don't know, watching a show together, I guess, parallel play. It's like, it's so funny. It's like when you're adults watching HBO, it's kind of our parallel play. When we're not doing our parallel play, he is usually on MLS looking up other towns where we could potentially move.
Come to Idaho, come to Boise. It's actually really, it's so great. The quality of life here is so good. It's so good. And it's so easy. You know, there's just like all the stuff that bigger cities are dealing with around traffic. And like, there's just, you know, I have a 7-minute commute, and it's just a very sweet place to raise kids. It's Boise is a really special city, and it's getting a lot more attention recently. It's been getting a lot more attention recently, but we were really excited to be part of the, you know, the growth in Boise. And now Happy Family has a big office here, my first company, and then now Love Every. So it's very fun. It's a really good town to live in. Cool. So come check it out.
Okay. We will. We'll do an Atomic Moms tour, a national tour, everybody. Yeah. And I'll sleep on your couch. So with your second startup, can you tell me a little bit about any fears that you might have had? I would imagine that there's like a one-hit wonder, like kind of paranoia or fear. Like, you know, you hit the lottery, basically, you know, with a ton of hard work, obviously, but you hit the lottery with your first company. And then to decide like, okay, what's my next step or what's my next thing? Can you tell us like, what is that? What are the growing pains like, you know, heading into that second chapter?
It is so, you are so insightful. We're basically having a therapy session now. you're hitting on all the good ones.
Thank you.
We, as far as, you know, there's something really vulnerable about it. I was worried that I was going to be this, it's almost like you have something to lose now when you've been successful. It was a miracle that we were successful with Happy Baby. We saw every problem imaginable, and I'm so grateful to my partner in Happy Family. And we really went through it all together, and we kind of accomplished the impossible. And then to come back and think you can almost see the doubt when you say, okay, and I have another business idea. And this time it's this around early learning, and you start to share, but you see before a company becomes, before you launch your product, before you are out in the world and real and have something to show for yourself, there's this very vulnerable time. And I think ultimately what helped me push through that it's almost like there's just no other choice. Like I just, this company is, Love Every is just such a deep part of me. I've been thinking about it for literally now 8 years since my first was born, like coming up with all of these different ideas and so excited about the mission that we have around helping parents connect with more, you know, meaningful development experiences for their children and feel more confident and empowered. And it almost kind of overwhelms and you just end up taking the leap. That first round of financing that we went after for Love Every was just hard. It was really vulnerable, and you have to kind of get your gumption up again and really get confident again. And I think we wanted to have external investors. You know, there's the question if we wouldn't just self-fund it, but I think it's so important to have a community of people that are behind you, and that you're not just self-referencing. You know, you're not just saying, okay, I have this great idea and I'm just going to give myself a bunch of money to launch my great idea. You know, you really need to be a part of a give and take with a community of investors. And that is something really powerful in that. And then of course, like as the company grows, we're going to need more and more capital. So it was just, it was hard. It was really hard, but it was also just now that I'm kind of, we're post, we've got a business, we've got a company, we have, you know, products that people are loving. It's just so deeply rewarding. But I will not do another one. This is it. There's no more.
Well, Jessica, do you have what we call a mom bomb, or basically an inspiring quote that can get us through the rest of the week? Do you have one that you ever refer to that you could share with us?
Yeah, one of my favorites is that the days are so long, but the years are short. It just really kind of help connect us all to that present moment and really take the bigger picture. It's like when the kids go to bed and I'm not working, you know, my husband and I will sometimes like look at pictures of our kids and they're all, you know, just sleeping in bed and like look at videos. It's almost like you kind of have that outer perspective of what's happening now, but it's so hard in the moment to remember that. So I try and live by that one.
What's the show? Oh, this is my mom brain. I think my friends are so sick of me saying this. But I'm like, I think I need to get some like neurological testing done because I'm really lost my mind.
You probably just need a few more hours of sleep a night.
That could be it. Yeah. And I probably need to eat better. What's the show where the guy, it's like the family and it was like done in the 80s and it was really cute. And then there was the Wonder Years. Okay. This reminds me of the Wonder Years a little bit. Like sometimes when I'm trying to get to like the detached place where I can see this as beautiful, even though I'm like really in the thick of it, I kind of think of the beginning sequence of the Wonder Years and how it's like, the way that it's shot, it looks almost like a projector screen. So I can kind of put that filter through my current experience. This sounds so insane, but one listener will try this and it'll blow their mind. If you can almost put that filter in your mind while you're watching it, it gives you that sort of nostalgia and this realization that, yes, like we're already 50 years down the line looking back at this. And like, it is beautiful. This simple moment is really beautiful.
I love that.
I love that you just went with me there. It probably made no sense. Okay, so Jessica, you're so generous in doing this giveaway with us. We are going to do the giveaway on Instagram. So definitely follow both of our Instagram feeds, all the links in the show notes. But we're going to be doing the giveaway on October 26th. So keep an eye out for that. And Jessica, what will one lucky listener be receiving?
Yes, they will be receiving a free play kit. So the first play kit for based on their baby's age and stage, they'll be getting information and products that are tailored to their child's development. And then we also have a coupon code if anybody for any of the listeners, and it's AtomicMoms10 for 10% off of the play kits or $10 off of our play gym. Thank you for that.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. This was such a special conversation. Thank you for going with me through the Wonder Years and my rave analogy. It was really awesome to talk to you. And I definitely won't let Adam listen because then we'll have to move. And we just moved to our home last year. So a few more years and then we might be joining you in Idaho.
You really should look at it. Come visit us.
Well, I'll let you get back to your family and to your work. And thank you again for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. Great. Thank you.
All right, everybody. Until next week, trust in your goodness, live out your greatness, rock on, Atomic Moms.